You will not find your first reading in the pew Bibles, because it is from that section of the Bible lasting about, this long. It's in Catholic Bibles and study Bibles. It's our Apocrypha. It's the book of Sirach, and it is a book that was not deemed necessary for the Protestant Bible, but which still has a great deal of instructive things to say. And I hear God speak through it. I know many people in our Bible study, our Monday night Bible study, hear God speak through it. And this reading was so good from the Catholic lectionary for today that I decided I had to share it with you. From the 10th chapter of Sirach. The beginning of human pride is to forsake the Lord. The heart has withdrawn from its maker. For the beginning of pride is sin, and the one who clings to it pours out abominations. Therefore the Lord brings upon them unheard of calamities and destroys them completely. The Lord overthrows the thrones of rulers and enthrones the lowly in their place. The Lord plucks up the roots of the nations and plants the humble in their place. The Lord lays waste the lands of the nations and destroys them to the foundations of the earth. He removes some of them and destroys them and erases the memory of them from the earth. Pride was not created for human beings, or violent anger for those born of women.
The gospel reading is from the 14th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 7. It's entitled Humility and Hospitality. When he noticed how the guest chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
Thank you, Bob. Jesus' words on humility delivered at a party where he saw people come in and fight to sit in the seat of honor. And in those days at a banquet, the closer you were to the host, the more honored you were. And if you were right at the host's right hand, you were the most honored guest. So people would come in for seating, and if there was no seating chart, you might sit further up than your host intended, in which case your host would then have to come in front of everybody and say, "Move down to those seats over there, please. There's someone coming who's going to be more honored than you." And what an embarrassing thing that would be, wouldn't it? It'd be a very embarrassing thing. And, of course, when Jesus says this, he's talking to us, too. He's talking not just about party etiquette, but he's talking about humility in general. Now, the writer of Sirach says, pride was not made for human beings, for God's creation. Pride was not made for us to have. And as I preach a sermon on pride, that is one of my biggest personal stumbling blocks. And I hope I preach a great sermon. But it is. It's one that I stumble on quite a bit. I want people to really appreciate what I do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's very easy to go from wanting people to appreciate what you do to needing people to express their approval to you. And when that happens, it can turn a good work into something completely self-serving. And we need to try to guard against that mindset. We really do. Humble or stumble is the sermon today. Because if we fail to be humble, we do often trip and fall. And I've resisted for a year preaching Tiger Woods, but I'm sorry, today I've got to preach a little bit of Tiger Woods because he was in a golf tournament and close to the lead for a whole round for the first time since everything fell apart in his life. And he's now 9 strokes back, and this is the last day of the tournament, and chances are Tiger Woods will not win this golf tournament. And I can't remember who it was. One of the golfers will remind me who it was that said 90% of the game of golf is played in a 5-inch space between your ears. Yeah. Might have been Bobby Jones. I'm not sure. But anyway, Tiger Woods is having a tough time getting his head right now after what has happened. And I don't know if you remember his apology. It was a marvelous apology, I thought, because it spoke to the very heart of the problem. He said in his apology that he forgot and abandoned everything he had been raised to believe, and that he thought the rules didn't apply to him, and he was wrong. Now that is a perfect example of humility that comes late, but thank God comes. Because we do sometimes find ourselves trying to move ourselves up the ladder a little too far and taking a little more privilege than we should. We lose our humility and we stumble. That's what Tiger did. You know, he had everyone shouting and screaming and providing adulation and money, and he could hit a little white ball better than anybody on the planet, possibly better than anyone in history, and make it go into a little hole. It sounds simple, and it is simple, but simple isn't necessarily easy. And he did that so well, and they showered so much on him that he forgot about all the other important stuff of life beyond hitting that little ball into that little cup. And he stumbled because he forgot humility. Now, I would challenge Tiger Woods any day in a preaching competition or a praying competition. I wouldn't challenge him on the golf course. We all have things that we're really good at, that we have been given God-given ability or cultivated ability that we can excel at. But if we end up focusing only on that thing we are so good at, we can end up with an exaggerated opinion of ourselves. We lose our humility. Humility comes from the Latin humilis, which comes from the Latin humus, which means ground. So to be humble, to have humility, is to be close to the ground, or even better, to recognize that you're dirt. We are. You and me, we're dirt. We are made up of that stuff. Everything inside us came from the ground, from the earth. Somewhere generations ago, someone decided it was a good idea to eat a piece of fruit. And they were nourished. And then they met some female and male, met each other, and they determined a few other good ideas, which we won't go into. But as a result, people were born. Our bodies built up of the nourishment, the minerals and nutrients that come from the earth and shine in from the sun. We are the dust of stars. We are built of the dirt. And when we die, we go back into the ground. And no matter how many plastic crypts and hermetically sealed coffins we might have around us, eventually, as was intended by the great designer, we become dirt again. Adam and Eve. Adam, from the Hebrew Adama, which means dirt. So the first is created by God, and God says, I'm going to call you dirt. And here comes your wife, life bearer, which is what Eve means. So that first great creation myth of Genesis is all about that basic fact of all human life. Made from dirt, made to bring life. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. And everything else is just a plus. You're a real good golfer? That's fantastic. You preach a good sermon? Good for you. You're great in a wood shop? That's really good. You're fantastic at managing other people and making companies turn a profit? Wonderful. You're a baker? Great. Share everything you can, and on, musician, accountant, bike rider, mother or father, postal employee, excavator. Each one of us, built from the earth, has so much time on this mortal coil to do what we do. Now, the ancient Hebrews didn't see time as a continuum, as a line. They saw it as a circle that kept going and going. And so they talk of generations, and the generations return and return and return. And so our job is not to do something that leads us to be remembered for the ages, to have great monuments built to us. Our job is to be human, humus, walking dirt. Our job is to be humble and do all we can for the generation that is, taking all we've learned from the generation that was, for the generations to come. Now, poor Tiger Woods has had more sermons preached about him than probably any other golfer in history, possibly any other athlete in history. And I don't want to pick on one guy. I think we can pick on all of us. When we find ourselves dangling too close to that fine line where pride in our craft turns over to a need to be praised and glorified, when we find ourselves right at that edge, we need to remember stories like Tiger's. You know, we need to remember someone who stepped over that edge again and again and again until inevitably he was found out. Because it is found out often when we stumble. And we need to remember as we're approaching that edge how ugly it is to stumble, how much we hate to stumble. And we need to remember if we have stumbled, how forgiving is our God and how it's just a matter of getting back over the line. And if there are consequences, living those consequences as Tiger Woods is living right now. And as Tiger said, remembering who we are. We're dirt. We're walking miracles of living, breathing carbon. And when we're done with our life, we'll pour that carbon back into this earth. And more life will grow from it. We need to remember to be not low to the ground necessarily, but to be grounded. Grounded in good instruction. Grounded in everything that has been given to us by the generations that came before. We need to be grounded in a God that loves us, has expectations for us, and will forgive us when we mess up. To be humble is to be protected from stumbling. To be dirt. I just like that. To recognize that you are part of a web. A web of support and growth that goes from your spouse to your second grade teacher to the nurse who was present at your birth to the mentor that your parents and grandparents had and on back through time. We are the product of generations and generations. And here we are right now, you and me, at this point in time, where we make our own decisions, where we decide if we are going to follow the path of selfishness and self-promotion and pride to the fall, or if we're going to recognize that all we are came from somewhere else, all we think was put in our heads by other people, that all we breathe and live does not belong to us. Humble enough not to try to sit in that seat right next to our host, but to merely accept the invitation to the banquet of life and accept the spot we're in and do our very best to keep the party going. Amen.